Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the day you have created. This is the day that you have made. And Lord, there's so many things we need to pray about today. It's just unlimited amount. Lord, I just want to lift up each and every person in this church house this morning. Lord, we all have a need. We all have something going on in our lives. Lord, I ask you to listen to each and every one of our hearts this morning, because each and every one of our hearts' prayers are different this morning, dear Lord. There's some of us that face death this week. There's some of us facing health issues. There's some of us facing financial problems. There's some of us facing personal problems. Lord, I ask you to look at each and every person and fulfill their needs, whatever they may be, dear Lord. And Lord, I want to lift up Pastor Cal this morning as he brings the message to you this morning. I ask the Holy Spirit to come in and speak to our hearts. And if there's somebody here today that don't know the Lord is their Lord and Savior, I ask you to speak to their hearts today, dear Lord, and be bold enough to step out and say, I want to be a Christian. I want eternal life, dear Lord. Thank you for all you do for us. It's in your mighty name I pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Everybody okay? Just before we get started, we got some special folks with us today. We've got some newlyweds here. Bobby and Michaela Joe, y'all stand up so we can honor you all. They got married last weekend. Amen. And they're right back in church the weekend after they got married. Hallelujah. All right. I don't know what all God's doing right now, but I want to tell you, he's moving in a lot of our families. He's stirring. He's doing some things that I have not seen the last 5 years in this church. And so I'm looking forward to what all God wants to do the rest of the summer and this fall. And it's a blessing. Well, at my stage of the game, it's a blessing to be anywhere, but it's especially blessed to be here. Amen? And so if you are in, have a Bible close to you, if you've got one in your lap or one beside you, or you've got some kind of electronic device, be finding Proverbs chapter 3, verses. We're going to look at verses 9 and 10, along with some other supporting verses. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's a book of godly advice and counsel for practical living. And the book of Proverbs gives you all kinds of advice and counsel about marriage, relationships, about alcohol, about sex, about all kinds of things. But I think probably the biggest and greatest instructions in the book of Proverbs is on money and wealth and possessions. And it was written by King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived outside of Jesus. And maybe one of the wealthiest men that has ever lived. And he's writing as a father to a son, to his son. And he wants his son to understand how to handle money. Isn't that a great topic? We need to understand how to handle money, how to handle wealth and possessions. And we're going to learn that this morning. And so if you're here today maybe you're a guest or a visitor, this is the third part of a sermon series on being free to give, on stewardship. And so this is the last one. I thought surely somebody'd jump up and dance. Anyways, but money's always a ticklish subject with folks, because Jesus knew that we would have trouble with it. And that's why he spoke about money and wealth and possessions more than anything else that he ever did. So If you have found Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to honor God's word by standing to his feet if you can. If you can't stand, that's okay. Just honor God's word the best way you know how. Let's look at verses 9 and 10 together this morning. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. That's a majority of us. All right, here it is. Honor the Lord. Let me say that again. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. How many of y'all have a barn? Wow. Few of y'all got barns. Okay. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. And your vats will overflow with new wine. I'm not going to ask how many of you have a wine cellar. So, anyways. Father, would you add a great blessing to the reading, to the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired word. Thank you, Lord. Teach us how to handle the money that you've placed in our trust. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. I want to give you three truths this morning about how to handle money. How to handle money. Here's the first one. Learning how to handle money is a spiritual matter. First and foremost, it's a spiritual matter. Did you see that? Honor the Lord with your possessions. And so the first key to learning how to handle money is a spiritual matter. And here's the deal, folks. We talked about this last week. Everything that you have is from God. Everything. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, everything you're looking at, it's his. Everything you're listening to, it's his. It's all his. Haggai 2:8, all the silver and all the gold is mine, thus saith the Lord God of hosts. Psalm 50 says, all the cattle and all the hills are his. It's all his. And so what God has done is he has entrusted us with some things that we call money, that we call possessions, that we might call wealth, whatever. And it's all his, but we ought to return a portion of his, what's already his, to him. And then you know what God does? He supplies all our needs. Some of y'all didn't get that. It's all his. And when we return to him what he asked for, to honor him, and by the way you do that is through giving, generosity, then he supplies all of our needs. That's why it's a spiritual matter, learning how to handle money. Now, having said that, turn in your Bible just a few pages to Proverbs 10. And look at verse 22. About three or four pages. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. You may not know this, but you are, yeah, you're wealthy. You're rich. By the way, I love this passage of Scripture. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18 says, it is God who gives us the power to acquire wealth. It's all his, but he's the one that gives you the ability to get wealth. And I know what some of y'all are thinking right now. Brother Cal, Pastor, you just don't know me. I'm not wealthy. You are rich beyond your wildest dreams. Compared to the rest of the world, we are filthy rich. We are. And if you don't want to buy into that, let me just ask you this. Are you healthy this morning? Well, then you're wealthy. Have you got a family that loves you and supports you? You're wealthy. Are you saved and in the family of God? You're wealthy. If you're on your way to heaven to spend an eternity with the Lord Jesus, you are wealthy. And so what are we to do with this wealth? Well, we're to honor God with it. We're to honor God. I want you to just think for a quick minute with me. what all Jesus did for you and continues to do for you. Think about the cross. Think about it. Every drop of blood he shed for you so that your sins could be forgiven. Every time somebody hit him with their fist, when they placed that crown of thorns down on his skull, when they laughed at him and spit on him, when they drove those nails in his hands and feet, when they lifted him up on that cross and he's struggling to get a breath, up and down, up and down. He did that for us. He did that for us. He gave his all for us. You remember the old hymn, "Love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." God deserves our very best. He deserves, not leftovers, he deserves our best. Look at your neighbor and tell him, Jesus is the best. Learning how to handle money begins with honoring God with your possessions. Now, here's the second thing, and it's right here in the text. Learning how to handle money is a methodical matter. There's a method to it. Now, look there at the latter part of verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions. And then secondly, he says, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, there's a method, and I want to give you a fourfold method, really, as to how we ought to handle the money that God has entrusted us with. Now, Israel was an agrarian society, okay? They grew wheat and grain and raised sheep and cattle, that kind of thing. And so when the harvest started coming in, the very first fruit, the first sheaf of grain or wheat was taken to the temple and given to the priest. And you know what he would do with that big sheaf? He'd wave it over the harvest and ask God to bless it. Same way with the animals, the sheep, the oxen. Your first fruits, you brought the very best that you had. And you gave it to the Lord. So whenever you hear first fruits, that's what you're talking about. And God does deserve our best, not our stinking leftovers. Yeah, I said it. Hello? All right. Fourfold method. You ready? First thing that you need to get a handle on, if you're going to be able to handle all that God's given you and entrusted you, is you need to learn how to live in under a budget. Budgeting. Budget. If you don't budget, you're flying by the seat of your pants, and that'll get you in trouble financially. You need to live on a budget. And that's as simple as this. List your income right here. We did this in premarital counsel with Bobby and Michaela Joe. They did a great job. List all your income right here on this column. And then on this column, list every single expense you've got. Every one of them, including what you give to the Lord. And then whatever the bottom line looks like, if you got more going out than you got coming in, guess what? You've got one of two things to do, either make more money or cut your expenses. Or maybe there's a third thing, maybe you just need to do both. We need to live on a budget. Quit flying by the seat of your pants. Know what you got coming in and know what you got going out. Amen? That's just practical advice. And then secondly, tithing. Tithing. Now, I didn't come up with this. The Word of God came up with this. You see tithing hundreds of years before the commandments were ever given. And we're to give God the very first fruits, the top 10% of our income, and bring it into God's storehouse, today's storehouse. I tell you what, let's run over real quickly to Malachi 3. Did we look at this last week? Did we? It'll help us to do it one more time. Malachi 3, this is the classic passage on giving. That's the last book in your New Testament, in your Old Testament, right before the New Testament. Malachi 3. Look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And offerings. An offering is over and above your tithe. Are y'all with me? Okay. One of you is. All right. Now listen to this. Listen to verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You see, if you're not a tither, you're a taker. Hello? I love y'all enough to give you the gospel truth, and what you're hearing right now is truth. And I even heard a couple of pastors say, well, that's an Old Testament principle. Oh, really? Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, he just assumed that we would tithe. Just like prayer and fasting and some other things that he mentioned. That's the beginning point of stewardship for every believer. He says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, where is the storehouse today? The church, the local church. And he says, try me now in this. And y'all, this is the only time the Word of God says, I double dog dare you. That's what he's saying. He says, you prove me now in this. And see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And so we're to bring every Sunday the first tenth off the gross of the net. Don't ever say that to me. I'm tired of hearing that, because, you know, somebody who asks that is trying to figure out how little they can give and still be all right. Right? We're to be generous givers, because God's been generous to us. And so you might need to know this. How do we support all the ministries here in our church? How do we support our church budget? Through your tithes and offerings. Let me just give you a few of them. Vacation Bible School. Do you know where that came from? Your wallet. Your pockets. Your bank account. We spent $5,000 last year on Vacation Bible School. I don't know what we spent yet this year. Kenwood, we took that sister church on. They hadn't done any maintenance on that building in 50 years. We spent probably $200,000 out there. Now, we didn't pay a dime for the property of the buildings, okay? But we've replaced three HVAC units out there. We've remodeled the sanctuary and a couple of other rooms, and it really looks good now. What paid for that? Y'all did. The Baptist Collegiate Ministry, the BCM. We'll be hearing from them in a couple of weeks. The Baptist Collegiate Ministry. Teen Challenge. Don't you love it when we have the Adult and Teen Challenge guys in? We support them. Manna Cafe, Loaves and Fishes. We support them with our tithes and offerings. The Gideons. We bought Bibles. Y'all gave $2,500 to the Gideons this year to buy Bibles with. Disciple Now, Good News Clubs. We're going to try to get a Good News Club started at Moore School. We're not only going to need your tithes to get that going, we're going to need some volunteers to tithe your time to do that. The fuel programs for the schools, we're involved in that. You see all this equipment up here? This stuff costs money. Hello? Our music ministry, our worship ministry costs money. How do we fund that? Through your gifts. Amen? Where's some of our widows? Wave at me. There's Nancy back here. We have a wonderful ministry to our widows, and we do some nice things for them. Well, where does that come from? From your tithes and offerings. Are y'all with me so far? Is something coming clear to you? Hearts on Fire. Our kids are fixing to get ready to go this fall up to the mountains. You're paying for that through your tithes and offerings. Mission Voice Network. Remember Brother V? Remember Brother B? Brother V? All right. Missionaries, we support over 7,000 missionaries. Every Sunday we do that. Six Southern Baptist seminaries. The Raineys are going to be with us. Wade and Casey in a couple of weeks. They're fixing to head to the Dominican Republic. We've got our finance team has them in the budget. And then salaries. Some of y'all need to start tithing. We have benevolence needs in the church, and we meet those needs. So there's a lot of things that we're a part of, and we're doing ministry. Brothers and sisters, ministry costs money. Ministry costs money. And anyway, so tithing is how we honor God with our first fruits. Are y'all with me so far? There's another thing you need to do. Savings. Saving. Savings. We tithe 10% and then we ought to save 10%. One of my buddies, Dr. James Merritt, he had three young sons. He called them Eeny, Meeny, and We Ain't Having No Mo'. And he gave them three jars apiece. And the first jar was a 10% tithing jar. The second jar was a 10% savings jar. And the third jar was an 80%. This is, you live on the rest of this. And he taught them those three principles. And guess what? All three boys now are grown and they're financially well off. I've never seen anybody begging for bread that's tithing and saving. Just doesn't happen. And by the way, you need to save for things. Emergencies. Hello? I'm thinking about other things. College. Diana and I have a 17-year-old, and we're saving for whether for college or Votech, whatever he wants to do, feels led to do. We're going to have the money for him to do that. We're saving for that. We've been saving for that ever since he was born. There's a lot of things that you need to say. Have mercy, Christmas. Mercy. Birthdays, anniversaries, graduations. There's a lot of things that we need to save for. And it's so good to know that you've got a little something, something that's going to tide you through when tough times come. Amen? Well, here's the last one. So we've talked about what? What's the fourfold method? Number one is what? What's number two? Tithing. What's number three?
Saving.
Here's the last one, spending. Spending. We need to spend our money carefully. And it's not our money, it's His money. Remember that. How you spend His money goes a long ways towards honoring God or not. Now, did y'all hear about the woman who, she wanted to get her hardwood floors refinished. And so she calls this handyman in, and he shows up the following week. And so he comes in, and he says, "Ma'am, I need to move some furniture." She says, "Sure, that'd be fine." And so he's moving furniture across this floor so he can begin refinishing the hardwood floors. And the last piece he moves is a very old, antique-looking dresser. And so he's moving it, and she jumps up, and she says, "Oh, be careful with that. That dresser goes all the way back to Louis XIV. And he said, "Ma'am, it's okay. I totally get it. If my payment's not in by the 15th of the month to Sears, all my furniture goes back." We are leveraged to the hilt. Our country is $30-something trillion in debt. I told you last week, our families are 79, the average American family is $7,900 under credit card debt, and only one out of three families are paying that balance off each month. If you're taking, and the average American family is spending 110% of their income, I said 110%. What's wrong with that number? You need to be careful on how you're spending your money. And you don't have to have everything you want. Now, I mentioned something about Billy's nice Armada last week. Well, it's 11 years old. But he told me, he said, "You know what these new Armadas cost?" What was it? Over $100,000. Now, if you're making $500,000 a year, go ahead and get you a $100,000 Armada. There's nothing wrong with that. God told us to enjoy stuff, okay? But let me just tell you, If what you're getting is going to put you majorly behind and in debt, don't do it. Don't get it. Well, Brother Cal, is being in debt wrong? No. I understand you got to borrow money to get a house today, get a home. And probably for the most of us, cars. But you don't have to have a $100,000 Armada either. Right? Some of y'all will go get you one this week. But I want to tell you what is wrong. If you're so in debt you can't tithe or pay your bills, that's wrong. It's a terrible testimony not to be able to pay your bills. There's the haves, the have-nots, and have not paid. Have mercy. I don't need to get off too deep on that because we got folks in here that are not paying their bills. Listen, brothers and sisters, we represent Christ in everything we do. So there it is. There's the fourfold method. Are you with me? All right. So learning how to handle money is what? It's a spiritual matter. It's a methodical matter. And here's the last one. It's a beneficial matter. Now look again at the scripture with me. Look at verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now at first glance, this kind of sounds like this health and wealth, blab it and grab it, name it and claim it gospel. And by the way, the next time some TV preachers ask you to send in $100 as seed money for his ministry, and he tells you that if you'll just send me $100, God will send down $1,000, you get on that 800 number and talk to him and give him the same offer he just gave you and see what happens. Am I communicating with y'all? Some of y'all are going, well, what's he talking about? I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I just believe the Word of God. And I believe if you'll be obedient to what we're learning here today, God will bless you financially. And He'll bless you a lot of other ways. I shared with you last week about how we got this surprise boy of ours. And then God gave us a car when we were driving one vehicle. And I've shared the story about giving MVN $1,000, you know, and how God put that right back in my pocket at a wedding. A lot of weddings I don't get a dime for. That's okay. But I want to tell you what I've learned. You cannot outgive God. Amen. You can't outgive Him. And there's other blessings, but He may decide, if you get obedient to this, to take care of them aching joints and bones you've got. He may give you health. He may decide to heal that family member that's sick. He may decide to give you a godly daughter-in-law. He may decide to do some other things for you. He may give you the job you always want. He may provide in other ways for you. But what I have learned is that giving is a beneficial matter for us if we will be obedient to what God's Word tells us to do. Amen? Now, it's almost 10 o'clock. Let me finish up here. And by the way, when you hear, I've been in 18 of our revival services this month, and every single preacher that said, I'm about to close, well, you can just count on another 30 minutes. I'll honor my word here. Look at Proverbs 10 and verse 4. Proverbs 10 and verse 4 says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. And turn on over to 13, chapter 13, and look at verse 11. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. And watch this. I'll get this one for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, listen to verse 10. Paul says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. One of the ways that God gives us power to get wealth is through work. And by the way, if you can work, you ought to work. I don't draw me a check. That's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches a good work ethic. Parents, grandparents, one of the best things you can do for your kids is to instill in them and pour in them a good work ethic. Yes. Have y'all been around Clarksville here lately, hadn't you? And just about any business you go in, what's the sign in the front window say? Yeah. What's wrong? Folks don't want to work. Well, the Bible says if you don't want to work, you shouldn't even eat. Hello. Well, that gets some people working pretty quick, wouldn't it? Amen. All right, so giving's a spiritual matter. Learning how to handle money, it's a spiritual matter. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Giving is a methodical matter. What does it say? The first fruits of all your increase. Budgeting, tithing, saving, and spending. And then giving is a learning how to give, learning how to handle money is a beneficial matter, man, so that God will bless you. And He wants to bless you. He don't want a curse to fall on you. But having said all of that, let me say this morning. Listen to me, everybody, right here. There's something that you need more than anything else, and it's not money. There's something your family needs more than anything else, and it's not money. There's something that this church family needs more than anything else, and it is not money. Here it is. Here's the bottom line with giving. We need to surrender our whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will sell out to Him this morning, I'm going to give you a guaranteed ironclad promise. If you will sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ today and get obedient to the Word of God and just give Him all your love, your passion, everything that you are to everything that He is, the money will take care of itself. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we're at decision time. And I don't know what you want to do with a stewardship sermon, but I believe there's people here that first of all need to be saved. They need to begin a relationship. We can never be a giver, a cheerful biblical giver until we're one of your children. And you gave your best to us, so help us to give our best to you today and call on Jesus to save us. And Lord, every single one of us need to surrender our all to you right now, today, to give everything that we are to everything that you are. That's your plan, that's your purpose for us, so that we might bring glory and honor to our great God. If you want to become a real giver by giving your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus as your only means of salvation, you can walk out of here born again, saved. Well, how do I do that, Pastor? By admitting and agreeing with God who you are. Lord, I'm a sinner, and my sins have separated me from you. But I believe your Son paid the price for all my sin at the cross. And I believe He's alive this morning. And by faith, I want to ask you to forgive me. And I surrender my heart and life to you today. I'm yours. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for saving me. If you pray a prayer like that this morning, I'll promise you, the Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you got to come to Him His way. And in just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to make that public with folks. And the way we do that here is just by coming forward. We'll pray with you, share some stuff with you, give you some things to take home, talk about your baptism, and you'll be set on the road to stewardship that honors God. But I believe there's many of you in here that need revival. And revival starts with each one of us. Are you willing to give God your all today? Are you? Are you really ready to give God everything? If you'll do that, He will open up the windows of heaven and bless you in such a way. Father, this time of response is yours. This time of prayer is yours. This altar is yours. And I pray that people all across this room would surrender everything to you today. We ask it in the name of the one who gave His all for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.